Extinction Rebellion have announced that they're ending their environmental protest today. For more than a week, climate protests were held in various parts of London and other cities. Over 1,000 people were arrested since the protests began, according to the police. Organisers have described the protests as the biggest civil disobedience event in recent British history, while the London Mayor, Sadiq Khan, described the disruption caused by protests as counterproductive to the cause of climate change, saying it was stretching police resources. Dr. Bing Jones is from Extinction Rebellion. He was one of the many who were arrested. Morning to you, Bing.
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning to you and the commentator and former MP, Limpet Open. Good morning to you, Limpet.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Of course, I got some criticism over recent days, Bing, from calling people Bing rather than doctor or professor. So would you prefer to be called Dr. Jones every single time I talk to you, Dr. Jones?
You can just call me Bing.
Well, there we go. My goodness, I've ended up in the front page of the Telegraph for not calling someone professor, despite the fact that I called the man, Rupert, 12 times. Don't start me about that, Bing. Dr. Jones, whatever way tickles your fancy. Let's get into the subject.
I'm going to give you that.
Yeah. Let's get into the subject. Who has given Extinction Rebellion the authority to disrupt people's lives as much as you have?
Well, I think I'm just going to have to turn that question right round. Who has given our government and our present system the authority to destroy the environment and to ruin the chances that our children will have a reasonable life in the future? We are stepping out, we're being disruptive, but we're doing it because nobody is doing it for us. The government and the media have only just turned the light on. We've all just begun talking about these problems, which are so massive that they are really hard to take on board. So, and it's only taken this, it's only us being so disruptive that's enabled this to happen.
Yeah, but the point, surely, Bing, is that when you've been causing this disruption, the disruption hasn't impeded any type of government ministers who could be making these decisions, or the politicians who could change the legislation. The disruption has been impeding ordinary, decent people getting to work, travelling to try to be to work on time, taking their kids to school, workers trying to get into the London Stock Exchange. It's the actual citizens who you are disrupting, not the decision makers.
Well, the problem is that it would be really nice if one could hone in one's message exactly onto the people that need to hear it. But I've been writing letters. I'm an ordinary, respectable, retired doctor, and I've been worried about the environment for 30 years. I've been writing, campaigning, lobbying, been a member of all the groups, and nothing has happened, Stephen. Nothing has happened. It is so frustrating. And then Extinction Rebellion came along. Excuse me, I've got a bit of a cough. Extinction Rebellion came along 6 months ago, and I just leapt at it because here's a group of people who are actually going to be able to do something. So we shut down the bridges, and 5 bridges in London in November. And then recently,
you're patting yourselves in the back for that. Shutting down London, shutting down bridges.
Because it's the only way to have to raise the profile of this issue. Now, Stephen, you cannot argue with the fact we have had the most amazing turnaround. A fortnight ago, nobody was talking about the environment. And now everybody's talking about it. We've got Greta Thunberg in Parliament. We've got people queuing up to have selfies. We've had lots of things. But the main thing is that the media have actually come on board and started to talk about climate change. This is a massive issue which affects us all.
Well, he's right, Limpet Opeik, isn't he? They've brought so much attention, so much profile to their campaign that a PR company would have charged millions of pounds for the type of profile that they've brought to themselves.
Oh, we're certainly talking about it. Let me ask Bing a question. Have you ever flown
Dr. in Dr. Jones, by the way? How dare you?
Dr. Jones, then. Dr. Jones, I hardly know you, sir.
How you dare you call him Amber's his first name?
You can call me what you like. I don't mind.
I'll call you Bing for brevity. Have you ever flown in an aeroplane?
I have not flown in an aeroplane for nearly 10 years.
Yes, so you have flown
difficult.
In an aeroplane. Okay, so you've flown in an aeroplane.
Of course I have.
Yeah, okay, 94%. Of course you have. That's interesting, Bing, because 94% of the human race is not. In order for them to have your right to fly, we'd actually have to build 6 times more airports than we have for London at the moment. So there's a hypocrisy. Secondly, I don't...
Sorry, where is the hypocrisy, Lambert?
You afford yourself the right to have flown by aeroplane. Emma Thompson, one of the great doyens of your campaign, flew all the way from America to stand there in solidarity with you with an 11,000-mile return trip in an aeroplane.
I think this is sad. This is sad. When you are...
It's very sad that you let me finish my
point. Let's let him finish his point, Bing, and then you can come back. Go on, Lambert.
Right. And, of course, it's very sad. We have these emotifs like very sad. I'm pointing out there is a fundamental hypocrisy in what's happening here. People travelling in ridiculously fuel-inefficient ways, according to your agenda, and then campaigning in London. Secondly, what you've done is you've managed to really annoy a lot of people who were potentially quite sympathetic. I have a place in central London. You have caused massive delays, leaving aside the increase in emissions from all the delays that you've caused to the traffic.
That would be central London. That would be sent
from your campaign because you've actually harmed people who've got nothing to do with the damage.
But Lambert, hold on a minute. You can get to your third point in a second. But that would be central London, where, as well as many other places in the UK, when you're walking through central London and you're breathing in the pollutants in the air because we do not care enough about the environment, that's the harm that's being done, well beyond some people having their little commute to work disrupted. They're bringing attention to the fact that not only are we harming ourselves and the health of our children, Lem, but we're wrecking the planet.
No, wait a minute.
And we don't care enough.
I'm a bit confused. Let me ask Bing, because I don't want to misrepresent your position. Are you campaigning about local health emissions? Is that what you're campaigning about, Bing?
We are campaigning about a global emergency.
Yeah, okay.
So in other words, everything that we do depends on fossil fuels, and we are burning up our planet. We need to completely change the way we live.
Thanks for clarifying.
We need
those
kinder, more natural, sustainable economy. And in terms of what you just said, Lambert, the air pollution has actually been reduced during the week that we have been doing our action. There's been less driving about. Things are better.
It depends on your
data. People have enjoyed it. There have been all sorts of good sides. We don't want to disrupt anybody. The word.
Yeah, you do. That's in the DNA of your campaign.
Okay, a couple of things here, Bing. Bing's answered your question, Steve. They're not actually campaigning about localised air pollution. There's two things being mixed up here. The localised air pollution is a health issue, which we can debate. They're actually concerned about the global issue of climate change. And here we have a huge irony. Loads of people who go on those campaigns are happy to have wood burners, which actually creates about a third of the particulate matter, human form created particulate matter in central London. I don't see you telling people not to have wood burners. Here's another example. The fact is, you don't say a word about population control. The biggest single contributor to pollution is having a child. But you're silent on that because it's not very comfortable. I actually represented the Montgomeryshire.
Where do you get that from? The biggest polluters having a child. Where do you get that from?
The biggest thing you can do to increase pollution is have a child.
How come?
The child will then become an adult and add to the issue. If we have 1 billion people on the earth, then we wouldn't be having this discussion. Now, the fact is that if you want to be consistent, Bing, then you need to tell me why you have parents with 3 or 4 children who campaign on these issues where they're manifestly increasing the population. Totally irresponsible if you're right about your fundamental premise.
Let's let him respond to this.
Lambert, you are bringing in issues which are not, which are outside of our remit. How can I go around asking how many children our various activists have had? That's not the point. We all of us have children.
Not,
And most of us have had children way long ago before any of these problems were highlighted. Clearly, the global population is of enormous importance, but we can't actually control that. We're not in a position to do that. That will be controlled very slowly. And it is eventually going to level up.
Could have you chose go up and start protesting outside maternity wards?
Yeah.
Where would this end?
Yeah, well, hang on.
Lembit, that's the most silly thing I've heard.
Why aren't you telling people in Britain that you shouldn't have more than two children? Otherwise, you're increasing population. Why? Because it's politically unacceptable, and you don't find that comfortable. In reality, your entire agenda, and I'll read the three things that you people are saying. You want the government to tell the truth, to say there's an ecological emergency, and the motive phrase, you haven't defined it. Secondly, to act now to help biodiversity loss and reduce greenhouse gas emissions. Okay, you haven't defined how you're going to do that. And the third thing is that government must create a citizens' assembly on climate and ecological justice. So now you're suddenly going to try to restructure our political system. This is incredible. And the idea that we can get to zero greenhouse gas emissions by 2025, when you're also opposed to nuclear, which is about the only way you could conceivably do it, suggests that this is just pie in the sky, people demonstrating inconveniencing ordinary human beings with no credible political agenda.
I think we need to give them space to respond.
Sorry.
Look, basically, the biggest problem is that people don't know that they've got a problem. I am a doctor, and what we're looking at here is ignoring early signs of cancer. We've been told that we've got a dreadful cancer that's going to kill off the world, and we're just not doing anything about it. There's blood in the toilet, and we're just saying, never mind, I'll go to the doctor in a couple of months' time when I've been on my holiday. We've got a massive, serious problem here, and it's silly to try distracting by all sorts of other things. Of course, nobody's perfect. Many of us have flown. I've had too many children. I won't tell you how many. I've had too many. I feel bad about it. Many of the people in Extinction Rebellion, there's a whole group of women who are so frightened that they are saying they don't dare have children. My own daughter is about to get married, and she's saying she's frightened about having children. This is a desperate situation. And Lembit, it's silly to start drawing in political things. We are not a political organisation.
Really?
We're a movement.
You're not
of
a political organisation?
We're frustrated by the fact that nobody is looking at a really.
You're demanding negotiations
thing.
With government as
we
part
are,
of your criteria.
Yes, of course.
So that's as much a political organisation as any other, is it not?
Well, but our demands are relatively simple. We don't prescribe how to get down to carbon zero 2025. We just say that we need to have a dramatic and immediate move, because the IPCC has said very clearly that the whole world emissions must be reduced by 50% by 2030.
Can I admit something?
And then they must be reduced further in another 20 years to zero, and then they must go down further after that. The only way we can do that is to have a total change in our economic and political system. And our political system is broken, Lembit. Brexit shows we can't even sort that out.
Okay, hold on a minute. One second.
Have worked so well in the Republic of Ireland.
Can I admit something? And I get it that this makes me sound even more stupid than I usually do, right? But there we go.
Sure you're not.
Well, I don't actually know, despite having referred to them many, many times, I don't actually know what greenhouse emissions are in terms of the totality of them. What are they?
Okay.
So I get it, the greenhouse emissions. I've heard of cars, cows breaking wind and all this kind of malarkey. But what are greenhouse emissions in their totality? What are we creating that are so damaging?
Okay. When you burn fossil fuels, you produce gases. And there are a whole series of them. CO2 is the commonest one. Methane, which is the cows burping, is a really frightening gas. There's much less of it, but it's 100 times more greenhouse effective.
Well, 50,
these gases go up into the atmosphere, and they act like a blanket. So in a greenhouse, the sun shines in, and then the heat stays in, and it can't bounce out again, out through the glass. So these gases allow the heat in, but they don't allow the heat out. So effectively, The world is warming up. We've lost 70% of the polar ice cap, of the Arctic ice cap, and probably there will be water at the North Pole within a few years. The scientists' predictions have been way, way too slow. Things are happening much faster. The observations are much worse than the predictions.
And does this scare you, Lambert?
Look, Bing, I'm sure you were a great doctor, but I'm not so convinced that you know the science on this. I look at this stuff professionally, and you are, I'm sure, aware that for 80% of the history of the Earth, it's been in a greenhouse environment. We're living in an ice age at the moment, and we could go back into it. Secondly, there was a 17-year period during which the global temperatures didn't go up at all. So I'm really confused by your reference points there. And now let's get down to the science here. Right, you can make all... Let's assume, weirdly, that what you guys are saying about all of this, what do you call it, ecological emergency is true.
It's not an assumption. It's 97% of climate scientists agree.
97% of cat owners think that some cat food is great too. I look at the science here, but I'm actually trying to agree with you and test you here. Let's assume that everything that you and the 97% of scientists says is right. How on earth do you expect to get to zero carbon dioxide emissions by 2025 when you're against nuclear power, when you're against the tidal barrage and, on the Severn Estuary, which would supply all the electricity for an area the size of Wales? You say no to everything and not yes to anything. The fact that you've got people in your own family who are scared of having children is a catastrophic irresponsibility on your part, because they're not in a climate emergency. But it's a serious situation. But what you've managed to do is block up London.
I'm not going to listen to this. That you are completely against the entire scientific community. All you need to do is say, is global warming real? And put that into a Google search thing, and NASA comes up instantly with 11 points saying, yes, it's real and it's caused by humans.
We're nearly out of time with this today, but can you give us an assurance, Dr. Bing Jones, that you're not going to go back? Because these protests, the type of protests that you're doing, the civil disobedience ends today. Can you give us a guarantee that you're not going to return to it, including in Northern Ireland in the future?
I really wish that I could, but I cannot, because there's $5 trillion earmarked by investors and fossil fuel companies in developing further fossil fuel fields.
So all those people getting off at airports and going on their holidays and things could be disrupted again.
We've seen smarter cabinets in IKEA. That was a sign from one of the kids' strikes. We have got useless government. We have got massive fossil fuel lobbies.
Well, those people in government
are going to keep going.
Those people in government and the cabinet, of course, have a mandate from the people, which is a lot more than what Extinction Rebellion have, because you've never been endorsed through a democratic vote. You're endorsing yourselves.
Our own key.
Self-appointed group, self-created group, self-appointed demands. And now you're seeking consultation with government. But we'll leave it there. Dr. Bing Jones and Bing Jones, Mr. Jones, thank you very much. Dr. Jones, thank you very much indeed. Lembit Opik, MP Lembit Opik.
Former MP
Lembit Opik. I need to be careful of my titles now. Thank you very much. Good morning.
Thanks.